We kind of been getting into what are the differences and the ministries and things of that nature. There's a certain reason why I'm doing this, mainly because the established position that we've had for many, many years is being challenged today. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about grace churches. When I hear trouble in grace churches, I don't ever hear about this denomination. So you can name the denomination you want to name. Name it. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. I never hear about one of those denominations trying to come in and influence or corrupt that church or that Bible study. Never. Now, I'm not saying you haven't had people of that faith come in and get in an argument with the preacher teacher because he's preaching contrary to what they've been established on, but they do what? They leave, ultimately. If they don't believe it and conform to the teaching, they leave. So what I've seen is that most of the problem that exists today in churches, our, you know, grace churches and Bible classes, come from within. Somebody seeing something new, a new revelation, a new understanding. And so consequently, they cause a ruckus, they split it, and, you know, it hurts the fellowship. Well, there's teaching going on around now that, you know, is causing divisions and splitting things up. And so that's why I'm motivated in doing the studies that I'm doing. That's really the push or the motivation behind me. If you're not emotional about it, you may not even be clued in on it, so you don't have that conviction. You don't have to have the conviction to learn these things, but at the same time, if you knew some of the stuff going on, hopefully it would kind of stir your pot a little bit too. It would kind of get you, kind of your motor running a little bit of what's going on. So that's what's happened to me. I've got kind of juiced up about this to a degree that I just think that the stronger I build the foundation of this church, meaning the men and women in this church, the stronger the church will be. And so I've got to teach on these so that, you know, we can have an undergirding in this church that when it happens, and it will happen, and come in and challenge us, it's not just me that knows it. It's not that I can't fight the fight. I mean, I can do that. But boy, it's something when someone comes in and they think they can throw the preacher down in front of people, and then you got men in here that come up and outflank them with the truth that they're established on, and all of a sudden it's not just me. They go, no, well, what about this verse? What about this? And boom, boom, boom. Then they start backing down. And I've seen that. And that's how you handle those type of situations. So it's good to have everybody up and strengthened in this rightly divided thing that we do. So with that said, we've been talking about the differences. If you would, look in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26, look in verse 69. In Matthew 26, verse 69, says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, your speech kind of gives you away. We heard how you talk. You talk like them. And in verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Why do you think he wept bitterly? Why do you think this was such a detrimental thing to Peter? Well, obviously, you can really put it in a simple little solution bowl here and go, well, he denied the Lord. Well, that's true, but I think it's bigger than that, and it has to do with denying the Lord. For instance, go to Matthew chapter 10. Now, remember, Peter had been with the Lord throughout his ministry, so all the teachings of Jesus Christ, until he got Peter to join with him, which in Matthew 10, Peter was with them as a disciple at that time. So whatever is taught in Matthew chapter 10, Peter was there. So Peter knew the teaching of Jesus Christ, is what I'm saying. So why was that denial of Jesus Christ so detrimental to Peter? Well, in Matthew chapter 10, look over in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now watch this. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Well, what did Peter do back there in Matthew 26? He denied him before men, right? Well, you remember? He heard the words of he recalled the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Peter's got a memory. He recalls things. He recalled what Jesus Christ said. When the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. Well, he remembered, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I mean, Peter was in a strait, folks. He was in a terrible situation based upon that doctrinal truth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I had someone ask me, and this is one of those that has branched out and got this new revelation, you know, that Brother Moore knew nothing about, Obed doesn't know anything about, and the rest of us don't know anything about. We're all wrong. So instead of asking me in a general, I want to know the answer, it was like, so, the Bible says, Matthew 10, verse 32 there, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. So, Peter denied him. How did he get saved? Well, are you asking me? Or are you doing like the Pharisees did with Jesus? Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, the law says this, but what say you? And they're trying to get... Well, that's the spirit of the thing. And the thing about it is, he didn't know the answer, but he was trying to corner me. Well, look in Luke chapter 23. I mean, I knew the answer, and I shouldn't have given it to him, to be perfectly honest with you. You know the old saying, don't cast your pearls before the swine, right? Sometimes you know the answer, and it's like you want to get... But what are they going to do with the truth? They've already trampled it before they got to you, so why give them any more? Luke 23. Look in we're going to just start in verse 33. This is when Christ is being led up to the cross. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he beckoned to the Father to forgive them. And that's exactly what God did. He forgave everybody that had their hands involved in the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And them doing that, rejecting the Lord, they denied the Lord before men. Well, I mean, Pilate asked them, what do you want me to do with your king, Jesus? He's not our king. We don't have any king but Caesar. What do you want me to do with Jesus then? Crucify him. Release to us the murderer. They denied him before men. Well, folks, that's what Peter did, right? He denied him before men. So when Jesus hung on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Therefore, they were forgiven of that denial. So what did it do? It opened the door, so to speak. People got a guy going, rapture isn't in the Bible. You know, we all use words that's not really in the Bible and sort of coin phrases, but when you teach it, you're teaching it correctly, you know. If I talk to you about the catching up and call it a rapture, you'd understand what it is. So anyhow, there's no door that I'm talking about here, but they rejected the Lord. They all denied him. Father, forgive them. So he was buried. Well, when he was raised up, he met with the apostles. So what did it do? And I'm going to use this phrase. It kept the door open for God to then go through the apostles and present the kingdom to Israel. And that's what they did. They started preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When you read articles, whether it's on an independent site, another church, you get literature in the mail, you do the old good old faithful Facebook thing, however you get it. Whenever someone is saying, well, there's the gospel that Peter preached and the gospel that Paul preached, that's good in the sense of there's both a gospel that they both taught. If you were to trust the gospel of Christ, the Spirit of God would put you in the body of Christ that's in existence today. So it began with Paul when he was converted, saved, in Acts chapter 9. He was the first in the body. He received the gospel that he had by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 1, 11, and 12. And so consequently, the Spirit baptized him into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, during that time, in the Acts 9 area of the account, Peter had a ministry also, and he preached a gospel. Where do you think he got his gospel from? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Look in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus Christ is preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. Back in Matthew chapter 4. Well, was this gospel of the kingdom, preached after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ? I think it's a very valid question, don't you? Look in Matthew 24. Now, what the Lord is talking about here, what he is saying is said, and this is, you got to understand this. What he says in Matthew 24 is said in the context of him being out of this world, apart from them, because he's telling them what's coming upon them with him being gone. And basically what it leads up to is in verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, who is the abomination of desolation? Well, we know it is the Antichrist. So after his ascension, guess who was supposed to come onto the scene? The Antichrist, the abomination of desolation. So what is he preparing them to go through? Tribulation. Did you ever think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the doctrine of Jesus Christ to prepare them to go through the tribulation? Hence their tribulation books. Doesn't ever get taught, but that's what they were. He was preparing them according to the prophetic time chart. They were going into the tribulation. So he's preparing them. I mean, isn't it ironic that 2,000 years ago, he told them, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. He's telling them about it. And since then, 2,000 years has come by and it hadn't happened. Well, then if it wasn't going to happen and he knew it, and they knew it, why warn them about it? Because according to the prophetic time chart, it should have taken place here. But it was all incumbent upon one thing, and that is Israel receiving their king. They didn't do it here. They denied him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you come on the other side. The king has been rejected from the kingdom, but God forgave them, then raised up the apostles, and look what they're going to be doing. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and shall the end come. Well, what's going to be preached? Gospel of the kingdom. Well, we saw in Matthew 4, what was he preaching there? Gospel of the kingdom. Folks, nothing changed. So when someone comes up to you and says, well, Peter preached the gospel and Paul preached the gospel, you got to know. You got to know what these gospels are, because Peter did preach a gospel. And I could throw it out there and you could have people sitting and listening to me and they don't think there's a difference when you say, well, Peter preached the gospel and Paul preached the gospel. It sounds all the same. But when you get specific to what it really is, it is gospel, which means what? It's a good news of the kingdom. Well, it was good news here because the king is here. But they rejected him. Well, how is it good news here? Because you can now, since he's been raised up and you've been forgiven of denying him, you can repent, get baptized, and your sins until his return were in remission. In other words, those that would be put to death by the Antichrist, if they died in faith without denying him, they would die with their sins in remission, meaning they wouldn't be put to their account. The sins wouldn't. So he tells them, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Because when Peter is preaching that, the Lord's up here in heaven. So what is Peter preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. What's the good news? The good news is the king that you, with murderous hands and blood on your hands, that you denied before Pilate, was crucified. God forgave you of denying him, putting him away, actually blaspheming. That man that you crucified has been raised up. And I'm preaching him to you. And the good news is you can repent, get baptized in his name, by the way, and get remission of sins. And when he returns, your sins will be blotted out. Will it still then remain the good news of the kingdom? So what did Israel do? They all migrated to Jerusalem to have this great celebration to receive the return of their king, right? They started killing the apostles and the disciples. And the ring leader was Saul. It was Saul. Let me ask you something. When the tribulation comes, the Christians of that time, are they going to be persecuted by the Jews? Hang on now. Hang on. Were they persecuted here during the days of Peter? Who was the ringleader? Who headed it up? Paul. Was Paul a Jew? Then when you go into the tribulation, don't let people convince you that it's all Gentiles there that's going to persecute those Jews. There's a line of Jews that is going to be existing there that's going to persecute them. Paul is that type of individual. And so, because there was a wholesale rejection and they're killing the apostles, God then stopped the program so we never got into that time of the appearing of the Antichrist, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So all these that died off, that died in faith, went down to Abraham's bosom. God couldn't condemn them to hell. Why? Because they maintained the faith, right? Therefore, their sins were in remission. So he didn't apply the condemnation to them. So consequently, when he does return, they're going to come up into the kingdom. They're going to be raised up into the kingdom. And those that do then go through this time of tribulation, and they make it through there, when the Lord returns, what is he going to do with their sins? They'll be blotted out, Acts 3:19. Peter knew exactly what he was preaching about. So then someone says, well, if you hear the gospel that Peter preached, you go into the kingdom. You hear the gospel that Paul preached, you go in the body. And he doesn't agree with it. I mean, I don't see where it's difficult. Let me ask you this. If an individual, and there was, heard Peter's preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, and they did, how in the world could those individuals be placed into the body of Christ? At one time, there wasn't even a body in existence. How could they be placed in there? I mean, Ephesians 3:6 explains it to a T. Let's turn there. Ephesians 3:6. Now, he's writing to these Gentiles, and he's writing to them because there's been a dispensation that was given to Paul for you Gentiles. And he tells them, in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well then, we know that the gospel is the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 6, by the gospel. Paul said in Galatians 1:11, the gospel that I preached is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So the gospel that Paul had is definitely, absolutely different than the gospel that Peter had. They're not the same. So when he said that you're members of the body, Ephesians 3:6, by the gospel, he's referring to his gospel. That's not difficult. That you Gentiles, how's it worded so I don't mess it up, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So when Paul preached the gospel of Christ to people, what happened to them? They were all placed into the body of Christ, just like we in this room. We trust Jesus Christ. We're in the same body that Paul was in. But Paul's gospel is one that he received by revelation of the Lord, and it is not the gospel that Peter preached. Therefore, those that believed the gospel of the kingdom were not put into the body of Jesus Christ. They weren't. Now, the Loco teaching says this. Now, I'm just addressing issues out there. The rapture takes place. We go up. 7 years tribulation. The Lord returns. We come back down with him. When we looked at the teaching of Jesus Christ back here, in Matthew 24, he warned them of the coming doom that's going to take place with the abomination of desolation. Meaning, they're going to go through it. However, this generation did not go through it. They didn't, because there was an untoward generation, as Peter called them, that rejected the Lord. And so there's no other reoffering of the kingdom other than here and now. But when you kill the messengers, you're not receiving the message, are you? So it got put off, and they're going to resume after we're out of here. And there are some saints that are going to go through the worst time this earth has ever seen. They're going to go through it. Now, I'm just thinking, here's the goose. The goose is going to go through the oven. For those listening to this, tribulation, the saints are the goose. And I'm just using application here because I got a good one coming. If they go through the tribulation, if they go through the heat, the fire, then the body of Christ is a gander. Why isn't it good for the gander? Meaning, why in the world is the Lord taking us out and still leaving saints to go through the kingdom? If it's good for the goose, why ain't it good for the gander? Say, well, I want to get out of here. Don't you think they would too? They can't. Why? They have an inheritance waiting for them that they've got to endure persecution to get into. We don't have to endure persecution to get into it. Once we trust Christ, we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. When you trust Christ, you're there. You just have to put this body of flesh off to fulfill the whole fulfillment of your existence up there. You're already transported to the kingdom that you're going to inherit. It's the kingdom of his dear son, far above all heavens. We don't have to endure persecution to get there. We just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the persecution on our behalf.